Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, episode 467. We're up to the sequel to the Beverly Hills Cop franchise. We're up to Beverly Hills Cop 2 from 1987. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, introduce or why did I sound Australian?
I was gonna turn Australian there.
All right, Nate. Yeah.
What's up, Mike? Hey, Mike. We're going to introduce our guest. Yeah, you know what? Like I said, every week they'll get shorter and shorter. He was here last week. He'll be here for the next few weeks. He's our other intern, Evan. Evan, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
There he is. He's excited here. To be and, on. Yeah, and he's going to be doing some Beverly Hills Cop, and he's going to be doing the next episode as well, and four more after that. So get used to it.
All right, so let's get into some financials for this sequel. So, this is interesting. So the movie was budgeted between $20 million to $27 million. This thing made a worldwide of $299 million in 1987. Any shock by there?
Yeah, I mean, no, in the sense of the first one made a lot, but I still think it's crazy that these movies made that much money, just in general. You know what I mean? Like, and that's 80s money, which means if it came out now, it would be like probably close to double that amount, like $600 million for... I don't know about y'all, but like a kind of action comedy cop movie coming out now and making this kind of money would be bizarre. So, yeah. But it's not surprising in the sense of it's Bruckheimer and Don Simpson and it's, you know, like Eddie Murphy at his peak, kind of early peak. So no, not surprising in that regard.
Evan?
I'd say no, because I think this is right when rental stores were taking off. So Beverly Hills Cop was able to make a name. So when second one comes out, I think people were excited to go to the theater. And this was before when a movie comes to the theater, you had no idea when it was coming to rental. And so I'm not surprised that this one did better than the last one.
I'm a little shocked because the domestic and international is kind of even. It's at $153 million for domestic and $146 million international.
Yeah, I mean, the international number is kind of crazy. That's not what the I'm U.S. number is like, not that crazy. The international one's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It is. That's like a 48.8%.
For something that's like, so specific to the United, like Beverly Hills, they have no idea. Like overseas, you know, like there's some movies where that are Hollywood movies that are either maybe globe-trotting movies or they're set in like a big city, but like New York, people from, but like Beverly Hills.
And the comedy is very specific too. It does not feel like it lends its hand to worldwide comedy.
Agreed. So it is interesting that it made that much overseas.
Well, it shows how the power of Eddie Murphy at the time, stardom. Superstardom. So, all right, with that said, Nate, what did the critics and the audience think about this film?
Well, before I tell you the score, I'm going to tell you something. This was a very interesting rewatch. I have only seen this movie once, and it was when that 4K came out. I don't remember. We did not review it. I don't remember even why I like just because I don't ever watch my stuff like when I buy it.
Yeah.
For some reason, I watched it. And this review, like this, my review today, I feel like it's very different than when I first watched it, which is weird. The audience has also felt like this was very different from the first movie because these scores are, they went down by a pretty good amount. The first one, if you remember, had the rare same number for critics and audiences, 82%, 82%. This one, the critic score dropped 34% down to a 48. So this one has a 48 with the critics. With the audiences, it dropped a little less at 24%, but that's only good for 58. So a little more than half of the people, of course, who wrote reviews for Rotten Tomatoes, but you know, in general, seems like liked it, and critics less than half liked it.
I'm shocked. I'm totally shocked with this. Like the audience, sure, but the critics, I'm like, wow, really?
They went from 82 to 48.
Yeah, wow. They must have thought this thing was like garbage, like horrible. Evan?
I mean, I think I agree with what you have to say. I'm trying to...
Like, what happened here? This is very kind of similar to the first movie.
It is. Yeah. I can't see why it's weird. Very weird. Unless there's another movie that came out that had the exact same style to this movie. And they must have been turned off by it, but it's kind of weird for a sequel to just... And this is not even as bad
it's
as
It's weird
first.
For a sequel like, that's so similar to the original to kind of get like... And maybe that was it. Maybe they were like, this is like feels too much like the first one. And, you know, we want something different. Be.
Well, anyway, let's just get into it.
Who cares?
I don't care. Let's find out from our reviews if it's a 48% or a 58%. in the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yeah.
So with that said, all right, the lead characters back, Eddie Murphy and Rosewood and Taggart.
And Ronnie Cox.
Yeah. So
Paul Reiser, right,
take it away. Take it away, Evan. What do you got?
Lead character.
I gave it a 5. I thought everything that they did in the first one, they perfected in this one. I thought they improved on it from, I'm going to include kind of like the whole ensemble here.
Yeah.
Paul Reiser, what's his name?
Reiser.
Like Reiser, his little character and how they adapted him to this was hilarious too. And they had that throwback comment of like, oh, this is not my office. Like they just had it all everything that we loved about those characters in the first one. And I felt grew and we got better, but we didn't just get the same jokes, but we actually got some growth from everyone. Like it makes a little bit sense. So I really liked it. I gave it a 5 because I thought they improved and made it better than the first one.
Mm, all right. What you got, Nate?
Dang. I gave him a 4, but I did not score the ensemble. I did just kind of do Axel Foley. I don't disagree with what Evan said, though. I actually think the two cops, his friends in Beverly Hills, are like funnier in this movie than in the first movie. So I think that's good. I think they were plussed. Paul Reiser, I agree as well. Like he has more, he's still a side character, but he has more screen time in this one than the first. And he's funny. You know, like Eddie Murphy wants him to help him out basically with this undercover stuff. And he's always asking him for these weird favors. And they just kind of pop in the show like him doing those things. I do like the part where he's calling the chief on the phone. He's like from the FBI. And he wants to do an interview with him. And he's doing that accent. Crack me up. So I agree with all that. But as far as Axel goes, I gave him the same score as the first movie because he feels like the same exact character. Like nothing new happened in his life between the first movie and this movie. He's just buddies with that. Like he stayed in touch, right? Clearly, because they were going fishing. But he doesn't have like a new like wife or girlfriend, or he don't have like some little baby he now has to like look out for or like keep in mind. He still just kind of gets to be a freewheeling cop who goes to Beverly Hills and helps solve a crime. It's almost the same exact as far as the character. So I gave him a 4 because, you know, I felt he was the same, but I agree with Evan. Everyone else was a little bit funnier in this than in the first.
Yeah, it's funny. I scored everybody.
Okay. That's fair.
In this one, because honestly, everyone had almost the exact same screen time. Just, I mean, a lot of them almost on screen more. So I gave them a 5. I think Axel Foley, I do agree with Nate, where he is the same, very creepy with the daughter of Ronnie Cox. I thought that was a really creepy scene in the hospital.
Why does he keep kissing her on the head and stuff like
that? Yeah, rubbing her hair. I was like, this is weird. But anyway, I thought Axel Foley was funny. I thought he was funnier in this one than the first. It looked like Eddie Murphy is starting to get comfortable with the character. It didn't have a lot of bad moments with the acting, except for that part. Like, those parts was weird. I thought the Rosewood and his partner, I thought they were funnier in this one. I thought it was funny when he's, like, spraying the plants.
Oh, yeah.
And they, like, yeah. And then every time he got weapons, they were like, we need to talk. Each of them kept saying the same thing. He had, like, weird weapons. I like those guys. I did like his partner from Detroit. I thought he was funny. He goes, you get to drive the Ferrari. He's like, don't scratch the Ferrari. And I thought that was funny. Every time he kept telling her not to put the girls in it, and he had like 3 girls in it in the scene. So I thought that was like funny. And then he crashes it. He goes, he hung up the phone.
Yeah.
Why did he hung up the phone? Because he crashed the car. So I thought those were like funny. So yeah, while I do agree with Nate where Axel Foley's line of from zero to hero is not going up, but it's just an even slate across the board here. Whereas when we did the John McClane on the live show, we got to see him in the second movie get back with his wife. You know, he moved from New York to L.A. to be with his wife to try to fix that relationship and be with the kids and everything. So I do agree. If it was just Axel Foley, I would give the 4. But I think the sequel made the other guys more screen time and they hang out more. So I gave them 5 because I think the ensemble did work for me. So I give it a 5. Agree with Evan on this one. So 2 5s here and a 4. We're going to go with the villains here. Now, this is a group villain. It's kind of weird. So you got Bridget Nielsen. She's one of the...
She's the henchman.
She's the henchman.
Henchwoman, and I guess.
The guy from Quantum Leap.
The guy from Quantum Leap. Yeah, he's in
Jürgen Prochnow is Maxwell Dent. He's like the main one.
Yeah. So go ahead, Nate. You take it away.
I didn't like them. I'm not going to lie.
The Alphabet Gang?
Yeah. What a dumb name, by the way. And a dumb like concept of like every time we do a crime, we leave a letter with, I mean, a letter with a letter on it. It's like, okay, look, I gave the villain in the first movie a higher score than you guys. I don't know how this is going to go. Maybe I'll be lower. I didn't like these villains. First of all, Bridget Nielsen, to me, she looks cool because she's, you know, big and tall and kind of striking looking. But she's essentially a henchman, right? That's it. She doesn't not a making the plans. She just does what she's told. She's basically the muscle, just happens to be a woman. Then you have this guy who, honestly, the plot. So the villain's plot in the first movie, I liked better. Yeah, it's not exciting, but, you know, it's like drug. He's getting to like dealing drugs throughout whatever. Here, I honestly, this is my second time seeing it, and I still was confused as to what they were doing most of the time. Like, they kill they shoot the cop. I know why they did that, because he was getting on to them. But, like, it was something like weapon, like arms dealing, and then they were going to go to Costa Rica. But it's not super clear to me, so I was a little confused with, like, their whole MO. And then he was boring. Like the Maxwell Dent guy, I feel like he was as boring or more boring than the guy in the first. So I think this is the weakest part of this movie is actually the villain. So a 2 for me.
Oof.
Yep.
Here goes Evan. Let's go, Evan. What you got?
I love the villain. This was the best villain ever. Just joking. I'm just joking. I know. I agree with Nate. I gave it a 2. I don't like Bridget Nielsen. What's her name? Except for in Rocky, because she really doesn't do much in that. But I never liked her. And she's literally just cast because she has a certain look to her, not because she's good at doing her job. And if she ever listens to this podcast, well, I'm sorry. But I didn't know what they were doing. Why is it the Alphabet Gang? Like, why are they doing the letters? Why are they stealing what they're going to steal? I mean, I thought it was clever that they're like kind of have the gun range, and it's like it almost was like trying to be clever, more clever than what it was. I'm going to talk part of it. It's like these are like the stupidest villains ever. And I might bring it up in the action scene because I don't understand why they choose certain choices, and like they just shoot their guns for
like maybe doing drive-bys in crowded areas where there's a million people that could see them. Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to me. And then how they try to bring it all together at the end just wasn't working for me. So I ended up giving it a 2.
Whoa.
Alex liked it.
All right. Mucho interesting. Honestly, I kind of agree. I gave it a 2. No, because honestly, I think Bridget Nielsen worked as a henchman because she didn't do much. She just literally just shot. She looked hot. I thought she was hot. I was like, okay, cool. But it was weird because the movie started off with a jewel heist. And so you're going, wow, this is going to be a jewel heist thief movie. So you're like, okay, cool. I honestly agree with Nate. I don't know what the hell I was watching until they got towards the end when you saw all the guns in the trucks, and then they were like, oh no, when they started yelling at the captain and they started
at the very end, this is guns and this is, I'm like, oh, that's what's going on this whole time.
He was trying to sell the arms to this guy, and I was like, really? I didn't get that from the beginning, but all right, thanks Rosewood, like you helped me out because you made me drop this to a 2, because I honestly thought if it was a jewel heist movie, I would have said this is really good. Yeah. Because it honestly started off like Tony Scott would do. Like, it's straight up in your face action. And that's exactly what you got. But even when they shot Rodney Cox, you were like, oh, damn. Like, he was really onto them for the jewel thieves. Yeah. I did not know this was going into an investigation for illegal arms deal. And then the bad guy's even worse because he's there for 2 seconds, really. And then Axel Foley does his comical thing with the vitamins and all that, which I thought it was mad funny. So at the end of the day, it was just a dull villains, just very dull. Could have worked if it was a heist movie. I believe it would have worked in that department. But
yeah, if they were trying to stop thieves that keep doing these heists and then they're leaving the letters with codes, I agree. I would have liked it better. Yeah. I don't know what these guys are doing.
I didn't get it either. You're in Beverly Hills, so a jewel thief would have been so much awesome because they could have went to different...
All the rich people.
Yeah.
And we never got to really decode, like when she goes, are they going to be able to decode? Decode what? Like, we're not seeing what they're reading. Like, we just know that it's an A or a B letter. Like,
that's true. I didn't even think about that. They don't even really show the things. Except that one where it's like, it says Carlos or whatever, and then they figured that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Well, they didn't figure that one out. He left his fingerprints on the thing.
Yeah.
And Axel did his thing. Well, that's more storyline. But anyway, all right, so it's two across the board here. Let's go to action sequences, Nate.
Okay. Well, this one, okay. I struggle with this part. So, you know me at this point with my action. There's certain things I value. There's certain things I don't care about. This is directed by Tony Scott, who is that's what I watched this for. The Tony Scott, the director's
part. Yes.
I couldn't remember why I watched it. That was it. Okay. He's a much better action director than the guy who did the first movie. Like, he's better action director than a lot of directors. So they got the right guy. Now, this is early in his career, 87. He did Top Gun, but he hadn't done a ton of stuff yet. Yeah. So I think the action legitimately is better than the first movie, the actual action scenes. We talked about the end of the first movie when they're in the house and they have the shootout. And you guys, and I agree, it was pretty basic. This finale is way better, like in the construction site. It's still just people shooting at each other, but like the way it's executed is better. There's some explosions. He shoots that rocket launcher sideways, which made me laugh. That was pretty funny. He's like, you can put this over here.
Oh, yeah, he's reading the instructions.
Yeah, and he blows up the truck. Like, yeah. That was funny. The jewel heist at the beginning I thought was really cool. I was like, okay, I like it. But I had the same problem as the first movie. Not that much action in it. That's pretty much it. It's like, oh, and the car chase with the cement truck. Which was hilarious, by the way. One of my favorite lines in this whole movie. When they're done, and Eddie Murphy's like, are you driving with your eyes open, or were you using the force? It's so fun. I laughed out loud. That line is so funny. But yeah, it's not a lot. So it's like really well-executed little bits of action. I feel like it has the quality of a 4, but the quantity of a 3. So I'm going to give it a 3.5. I'm going to go right in the middle. I can't give it a 4. It's just not enough. But like, it looks like a 4, but it's just not enough. So I'll go 3.5.
All right. Evan?
Nate's being nice. I think too nice. I would agree that Tony Scott is a better director. And I believe we got some good camera shots. But I feel while we got a little bit more action and while it looked pretty, it was not good action. I did not like the heist where them just, I hate it. And I'm going to count it. They're just shooting the guns. Just for what reason? Like, they're just shooting them. Like, they're going and they're all on the ground and they're just shooting guns just because. And I'm like, why are we shooting guns? And it doesn't even look great. Like, and then she shoots the chandelier and then walks out the front. While everyone else is walking out the back, I'm like, I don't understand what you're doing. I did not, besides the cement truck, which I agree was the car chase, that was fun. And I think I like the music that goes along with it. But I did not like any of this action. And the lines that go along with it, like from the henchmen, and like when they kill what's his name, you're like, and why? And then she goes, sits back down at the horse race. I don't know. I gave it a 2. I did not enjoy this action. I thought everything in between the action was more enjoyable than the action itself.
I like that. That's good.
That's really brutal. That's like, I don't even know how to
just go with your heart and your gut.
Go with not even that. I don't even know how I could follow up with that. I mean, that was just straight brutal.
Just give it a number.
I mean, that is finest. Oh no, I'm gonna give it a number, but it's nowhere near where you guys are at. Because I was like, geez, we all saw the different actions in this movie. I gave it a 4.
Okay. I mean, we were close. I gave it 3.5.
No, we all close. We went from 3.5 to a 4. I think the action is. Okay, so while I do agree the jewel heist in the beginning, sets up the entire movie, I think the reason why they're shooting everywhere is because they're not going to give away why they're there for a certain item that they were trying to steal. But anyway, they shoot up the whole thing. But I think the cement truck scene is kind of the funniest part of the whole movie because Billy's just hitting everything. And I'm just like, dude, what so the hell? Funny. And Eddie Murphy's literally yelling at him. Yeah. He's like, are you driving with your eyes closed? And then you see the scene, he's hitting cars. That's a patrol car.
It was so funny.
No, that was funny. Yeah. You have that. I mean, Well, I do agree. It does not have a lot of action. I think Tony Scott does shine a lot in this. And yeah, he is way better than the first director. Hands down. I mean, the whole movie, when even setting up Eddie Murphy, putting on his tuxedo is like mad action packed. Because you got your my man Bob Seger singing in the background. Let me just tell you, that song is dope.
Nominated for an Academy Award, by the way.
Yeah, that song is dope. I listen to it sometimes in the car. Yep. But yeah, it's a cool song. And I wish they played it more because it fit the Beverly Hills Cop theme of them driving. But yeah, you have the cement truck. You have the end. I did not like much the fight at the end. I felt like it was very sped up. Like, especially when Axel, and this annoyed, you know what? I think I'm going to have to drop this to three because now thinking about it pissed me off. When Axel follows the main German guy or whatever, and then he shoots him point blank in the head and then he rolls out.
Oh, in the car?
And then, then Bridget Nielsen comes out and then Taggart shoots her. And I'm like, what's the coincidence that everything falls into plan? Like, he shoots the guy, she's there, and then she says some stupid line, and then Taggart hits her, and she flies into the freaking... Wrecked. I mean, she got shot with one gun.
It was a strong gun, though. She got wrecked.
She did. Yeah. That's 80s acting that's 80s, right there at the finest.
They go flying when they get shot.
That's it. But I'll stick with the four, because I thought it worked, and I think Tony Scott did a hell of a job here. He elevated it where the first one did it. I that's why I feel... In terms of the direction, I think it worked best for me.
Sick.
But, okay.
2, 4, and 3.5. That's what I like. A little bit, you know, depending on your taste, you agree with one of us. Probably.
Yeah, pretty much. Everyone's going to give this a 5. Know. So, all right, storyline, Evan.
This one's hard for me. And so I'm going to... I did storyline and overall and how I rated them because of this. I gave the storyline a 2 because the overall... reason why we're watching it with the bad guys was so bad. Like the fact that I have no idea why I'm doing there, and we had such potential with the police chief like getting injured and really doing that, you're thinking you're gonna get this like really cool nitty-gritty like what's happening, and we don't get that, and you just get like silly things. And this is where I really knocked. I hated when Axel Foley founds the dirt in on the shoes. I'm like, going, what kind of shoes tracked in that much dirt into that like huge there was a huge mound of dirt right next to those shoes. I guess those could have been on the front porch and less little things, but
you tell us that's overall, California dirt. Is it special out there or something like that?
Well, it could be it was like super muddy where he was running.
California
dirt. That's what I'm saying. We put our shoes outside. We don't put our shoes inside when they're that dirty, because we're not worried about the unpredictable weather. Like I can put my shoes have been outside for months because it hasn't rained. I know what the weather's going to be at. So, but I'm just saying, like the little stuff, I just didn't, because of that, I gave it a 2. And then when we go to the overall, you'll see what I'm doing.
Okay. All right. Now, here's what's weird. And this is the part where I said this was an interesting watch through. Because when we watched this for that thing, I didn't like this movie. But you know what? When I watched it this time, I kind of liked this movie. I thought it was pretty good. I was like, what was wrong with me? Maybe I was in a bad mood.
He hated this movie. I did not like it.
I was like, this stinks.
I looked at him going, oh, are you serious? He's just like, I did not like this movie.
Yeah. You know what? Rewatching it, I liked it. And it's way funnier than the first movie. I think this one, I laughed. Like, I think the first one's great. I do. But this one made me laugh, like, a lot more times. The using the force part. Freaking Eddie Murphy's so funny in this. When he has the gum and he breaks it in half, and he just randomly tells the guy, like, none for you. And then they go in the house. Like, he didn't have to. It seemed improv'd, you know? Like, he just tore the gum in half. But, like, even that little, he's just throwing these little one-liners out. And they're funny. They're all funny. Yeah, Chris Rock. Oh, yeah, Damon Wayans in that little tiny role in the first one. This time you get Chris Rock, who is mad because he has to valet the cement truck. I don't know. Now, the reason I'm bringing all this up is I'm thinking of the script. I think the script is funnier than the first. The story, I don't think it's as good as the first overall, because I agree with Evan with the villain stuff. Is like, you guys didn't like it in the first one. This one's worse as far as what the heck are they doing. And we all kind of agreed. Nobody knows what's going on. It's very convoluted. However, I liked a lot of the other stuff. I actually liked the whole thing with that new police commissioner guy who's like, he's like abusive.
Or yelling at everyone.
He's just always yelling at them. Lutz or whatever. And he's always like just berating them. I like that. I like that they shoot the chief guy, and now they're kind of like, it puts them in motion to try and solve this. Like, it feels like they're more attached to it than anything in the first movie, where it was just sort of like Axel was because his friend got killed. This time they made it personal for all of them. So I kind of like that. So like, there's elements I really think are good. And the villain thing is horrible. I gave it a 3. I think it has a good storyline, but the script I think is much funnier, because not only is Eddie Murphy funny, but like we mentioned, like Rosewood and Taggart, like they're way funnier in this movie than they were. Even at the end, when he comes out with the shotguns, he puts on that jacket. It's like, I've been waiting so long to wear this for a reason to put this on. And then like, that was funny. So yeah, I think it's a mixed bag. So I give it a 3.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. I was torn with this because I like this movie. I think I prefer the second one over the first one. I always tell everyone, Beverly Hills Cop to me is the best one over the first one. And even watching it now, I'm like, I think I do. Whereas I gave it a 4. I enjoy Eddie Murphy. He's just mad funny. Yeah, oh, I love him in the chief banter.
Yes.
He was, oh my God. He was like, you taking extra money out? He goes, I just need a little bit of spending money. He's
like, oh, that was mad funny. What the hell are you talking about, tutelage?
Yeah. He was like, how about you stop being a hero over there in Beverly Hills and come back and see if you get your job back?
Do your real job.
Do your real job.
It was funny.
But one thing, I had a problem that I couldn't give it a 5. And this is my problem. I feel like when Axel Foley goes to Beverly Hills, all of a sudden, he becomes super cop. Like, no one else could solve the crimes. Only he could. He knows how to fingerprint stuff, but the Beverly Hills guys don't know about glue and putting it in a tank and putting, you know what I mean? Yeah. Making fingerprint. Like, they didn't know about that. You know, they didn't know about dirt. And like, he's the only one that goes deep into the investigation, but his partners didn't. So like, for me, I'm just like, that hinders it, because I'm like, well, why is the guy from Detroit is more of a cop than the two cops that are more?
And he's not even a great cop in Detroit. He kind of sucks. Every time he never gets any busts.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's supposed to be the joke in itself. Yeah. Like, when he goes to Beverly Hills, he's more of a cop than when he is where he is at work.
And also a criminal, because he steals a person's house and doesn't allow it to get
work done. I like that part. That was funny. But yeah, he breaks all the laws when he goes over there. Mm-hmm. Or what do you say? Fractures the law.
Yeah, but then he knows he gets away with it because they'll pay or whatever. Right. So, like, I don't know. I just feel like that's my only negative with Axel. Like, he only solves the crimes, but his friends don't.
I agree. But other than that, I didn't really think about that. I mean, it won't change my score, but it's crazy that he's a sucky cop in Detroit, but an amazing cop in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And especially when I always love the beginning, though, where he's dressed all jiggy and he's like, I'm by the credit cards. And he's like, wait a minute, man. I know you. You're a cop. I smell pig.
I used to be a Muslim. I smell pig. Yeah,
I smell pork. I will not do business in front of this guy right here. God, he's a cop. So funny, I'm telling you, he's dirty. Yep. So I always like that. And then I always like when the guys, they all yelling. He goes, why I gotta be like that? Why I gotta be like that?
Or at the end, too, when they're yelling at Lutz and he's like, he's reacting to it.
Oh, you know? Yeah, because they're acting like
he's
him.
A civilian now.
I like when he's the sidekick. Remember when he's the sidekick?
Johnny something. I thought he was really funny. Yeah. Wishbone. Yeah. Johnny Wishbone. Yeah, I mean, that's why I gave it a 4. I think this is a great sequel to the franchise. I believe so. So anyway, I gave it a 4. All right, sorry, overall. Nate.
Overall, I like this movie this time. I did not dislike it. I had some problems with it, but I do think it's actually a very good sequel to the first movie. I don't think it's as good of a movie overall, and I gave that one a 4. I felt comfortable giving this a 3.5. Like, in my head, I was just like, this feels like a good 7 out of 10 movie. I do think it's better than a 3. I don't quite get to a 4, but I will say I could get there. Like, I've only seen this movie twice. I know you've seen it more, Alex, and I mean, I don't know how many times you've seen it, but probably more than 2. I've only seen this movie twice in my whole life. I could see like one more rewatch, maybe. But for now, I feel comfortable with 3.5. I liked it. I thought it was good. I'm surprised. I was like, I don't think I like this movie. And then I did. So there you go.
All right. What you got, Evan?
Well, as what you all were saying as a storyline, I had a hard time putting it like all the great stuff. So I counted it as the overall because I love the comedy. I love everything about this. I enjoy this movie better than the first one. I agree if I'm looking at it like as what is a better movie. The first one is a better movie, but I enjoy this one so much better. I ended up giving my overall a 4 because of how much I enjoy it. Yes, I think the storyline is weak. Yes, I don't love the action. But what else it adds to it with the characters and having how much fun you're having, you don't care. If I wasn't like breaking it down and writing this, this movie is a 4 all day long just by itself. But I'm being analytical, so I have to break it down the way I have to break it down. So this is why, like, I really love this movie, even though I gave it some really bad scores, but that's because we're breaking it down. I think this is great. I think this is a much better, enjoyable film than the first one. So it's a 4 overall.
I think we need a new tagline, Alex. Action Movie Guys Podcast, ruining your favorite movies since 2021. With the breakdowns, this always happens. Like, dang, I really like this movie. 1 for this thing, this one thing.
Yeah.
But I feel you. I hear that.
I agree. I echo whatever I said on the storyline because I gave this a 4. I still think it holds up. It is mad funny.
Yep.
The first one, if it was just a one and done, it's still a great cop movie. But they decided to do a sequel, and I think the sequel outshined the first one. To me, it did. I think Axel Foley as a character, he's just funny as hell. Very repetitive. I'll say this. It felt like they mirrored the first movie just with different the changes that they did. Like, they did the same thing with the credit card with the cigarettes, right? He did the whole, he needed the money. Instead of doing the money in the back or the truck with the cigarettes, he had needed the money, the car, because he's in deep, deep, deep undercover. So he borrowed mad money from the police station for a Ferrari. So, like, I felt like it was just a little mirror of the first, but I think they did a great job with the sequel. I thought it was pretty good. So I gave it a 4. All right, total points, guys.
I'm a 15.
All right.
15, I'm a 16 out of 25.
I'm a 19 out of a 25.
There you go.
It sounds correct.
It sounds right based on what everybody said. Those sound like the correct scores. But it's good. Like, I, you know what? To me, every time I'm scoring, when I get to the total, I'm worried. I'm like, dang, 16. But then I think about it. I'm like, you know, honestly, that's like almost an average of 3, a little over 3 out of 5 on everything. That's like a solid movie. You know, there's levels. Yeah. But this movie was... I don't know why I hate it. I'm still confused as to why I hated it so much the first time. I don't know what I had to be having a bad day.
Could be because I never understood.
Maybe you someone pissed me off that day and I was like not in the right mind to watch it. And I did.
Could be. Or maybe you had to watch all those Tony Scott movies.
Or maybe it was like, the 8th Tony Scott movie I watched one day. Yeah.
Because I think this was slotted between Last Boy Scout and I forgot the other one.
Top Gun. I think it was Top Gun.
Yeah. Was Tony Scott the one with the car? What was the one?
Days of Thunder?
Yes.
Days of Thunder was Tony Scott. I think this one. It was the vampire movie. What was that? The
Dark? Near Dark?
No. Near the Dark. One with Susan Sarandon and David Bowie. The Thirst or something like that? Or the Hunger? The Hunger.
The Hunger.
The Hunger. And then it was, then there was like, there was Top Gun, this, Days of Thunder, Crimson Tide. Those were all like his early. At least we ended on a strong note because I think Crimson Tide was like the last one.
That was the last one. Yeah. Which we got to rewatch again. But yeah.
Can't wait.
No. All right, Nate, what's coming up next on the podcast?
Great episode. Beverly Hills Cop 2. Watch it. Good sequel. Enjoy. Next, we are going to be continuing on with our old classic movies based on old serials / comic strip. Most of these are like all of them, actually. They did like radio serials and comic books and comic strips and regular books and TV shows. And the next one is The Shadow, 1994. We will continue on with our Beverly Hills Cop watch through with Beverly Hills Cop 3, one of the two that I've never seen. Also the one that every single person tells me I will hate. So excited to see it because I've never seen it. And now that I like 2, maybe I like 3. Maybe I won't. I don't know. My friend Kevin said it sucks. So I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't think you're going to like 3. I know you. And I know you're going to like
3. You never know. I'm gonna like
but
it.
I know everybody. It's funny because it's not even not your friend Kevin. Everyone thinks Creed is like garbage.
He specifically told me on Sunday, that movie stinks. And I was like, well, I gotta watch it. So thanks.
All right. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Action Movie Guys podcast episode. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Geeks and Flicks, for reviews, unboxings, and more. You can also follow us on Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. And make sure to follow the podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. And remember, don't just watch movies, live the action.